There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Firestone Destination AT2. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Saturday on Fox, it's an NL showdown as Paul Goldschmidt leads the Cardinals against Pete Alonso and the Mets, or the Reds battle Corey Seager and the Rangers. Saturday at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on Fox. Check local listings for the game in your area.
All right, J-Mac, it's time without further ado for the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
More NFL draft fodder. There's so many fun nuggets out there. So the draft obviously is tomorrow. A lot of people wondering, are the Giants going to get a quarterback with their first round pick? The latest, according to a guest of this show, Diana Rossini, Giants ownership is reluctant to trade up from the sixth pick for a QB after paying Daniel Jones last offseason. He got the 4-year, $160 million deal. Probably not that expensive to go up from like 6 to 3. So Daniel Jones will be their guy this season.
Patriots, Panthers, Giants stink right now. The only three teams in the league that to me are just stink.
So Daboll's a good enough coach. He can survive like a 5-win season.
Yeah, Daboll's an excellent coach. He's a little hot for some people, but he's a good coach.
And even if he gets canned, he can point to the ownership and say, they wanted to pay Daniel Jones.
Daboll will absolutely get a second head coaching job. Daniel Jones to the playoffs. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
The Chargers should have hired him. I remember when the Chargers came down to Daboll and Brandon Staley, and I asked at that point the then general manager, why didn't you hire Daboll? He's great with young quarterbacks. And I was not given the answer that was satisfactory to me.
You want to reveal the answer?
No.
Okay. I'm very curious what it is. Next up, Pittsburgh Steelers. Busy offseason at quarterback. They added Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, which seems like kind of a good thing. Pittsburgh has said Russ is going to be the starter. Yep. Fields will back up.
Yeah, well, I know this to be true. Russ has been given some guarantees here. I know that to be true. This idea that it's a quarterback competition is nonsense. Russ is starting, and Russ is going to get the year.
I think the phrase was he has the inside track or something along those lines. However, Adam Schefter says the Steelers are not expected to pick up Fields' fifth-year option. I find it bizarre that they would say this to Schefter now. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen during the season. Fields might beat him.
Yeah, we do. Russ will be better than Justin
Russ
Fields.
Russ gets hurt. If Fields starts, they make the playoffs.
Russ never gets hurt. When's Russ been hurt? Once? He's hurt a finger. Well, Russ doesn't get hurt. He plays every week.
Also interesting.
This idea, Russell Wilson knows how to play quarterback. You may think he's not what he was, but he knows how to play the position. Justin Fields is closer to Zach Wilson. We just don't think he's an NFL quarterback. So this idea that, like, he just needs a change of environment. Tomlin's a defensive coach. They haven't been able to get offensive coordinator or the run game right. So, I mean, this idea that Justin Fields, he just needs a new start. Why aren't you saying that for Zach Wilson? Because the numbers look the same.
Well, it's weird how defensive you are for Russ when two coaches, let's see here.
What do you mean defensive?
Pete Carroll's going to the Hall of Fame. Sean Payton's probably going to the Hall of Fame. And both of them moved off Russ in the last 3 years.
You'd think I'm pro-Russ?
No, I mean, you're
Russ and his camp
like...
have turned on me because they think I'm anti-Russ. Where I've said before, there is something with Russ that I didn't see that, I mean, when you have multiple coaches and players calling him out publicly, there is something in the room I'm not seeing. I mean, I know he can be kind of, people think it's a little, you know, relentlessly optimistic, a little cringy or
fake.
Corny. I don't know that. He's always been nice to me.
I like Russ, though.
So do I. But I'm not anti or pro. I thought for years and years he was getting other guys drafted. He was uniquely elusive, like Kyler Murray, although I think Kyler throws a prettier ball. I'm not pro-Russ, but this idea that Justin Fields, it's going to be they're going to go into camp and it's go either way.
Well, I mean, listen, if Russ throws two picks in the opener, that they're going to be the clamoring, hey, when is it Justin Fields'
Well,
time?
Who's going to say that? You think Mike Tomlin's going to pull him?
Mike Tomlin's in the final year of his deal. That's another underlying thing here. Like, what's he going to do? Does he? You never want to say that, but like, he's in the final year of his deal. There was chatter that he would go to TV. Remember this? We talked about it 2 months ago.
No, I mean, I've talked to two network presidents. And Tomlin is viewed as the safest home run analyst in the league. Bring Mike Tomlin on, he's great on TV. Two network presidents have told me that's the guy that you hire, and Mike Tomlin would be unbelievable. I've told you, there's very few people I've never interviewed. Tomlin's one I'd like to. He's one of the only ones left. Phil Mickelson and him, that's it.
Mickelson and Tomlin?
I've never interviewed Mickelson. And Mike Tomlin live.
You've interviewed LeBron?
Well, I've talked to LeBron.
Right. Steph Curry?
Yeah, I've interviewed him before. Nice. I was in on Steph just right out of Davidson. Some of us have that perception, that radar.
All right, final story is the NBA. And maybe the NBA needs to stop doing this whole two-minute report being released, because they released it for the Knicks-Sixers game too, and the NBA ruled that Tyrese Maxey was fouled multiple times during the defining sequence of that game. They found that Nick Nurse had actually called for a timeout. There's some question on the review if he actually signaled for it, but this is what the league is saying. Brunson grabbed Maxey's jersey. Josh Hart bumped Maxey. And essentially,
By the way, I've seen that replay. I don't think it's a foul. I think that's not. First of all, why are you? I don't like this idea of going back and saying.
I agree.
I don't like it. Secondly, I've watched that play from the side. I watched it from like 12 angles. I don't think it's a foul.
Yeah, it's like the NFL. Are they going to go back and say, this was a holding. We missed this holding call. They don't do that. Why is the NBA doing this?
I don't think this idea that Jalen Brunson puts his hand on him, that's marginal contact, which is the new term in the league. I've watched that piece of video 10 times. And I've watched it from the courtside view, which is on the internet. I still don't see the fouls. Just physical NBA play. The other thing is, when you get into these scrums, you don't call fouls in those. You don't call fouls on that stuff. That is live ball, players win. Yeah. That's like calling a pass interference down the sideline with 10 seconds to go in a football game. You just stay out of the way and let those guys battle unless there's somebody that pulls him down with a face mask.
Well, there was that egregious one. Was it Packers-Chiefs? Do you remember that? Deep down the
field? Oh, that was... And they didn't call it. That was a horrible miss.
Right. So, it happens. I mean...
I've watched this video. I don't see the fouls. I think it's physical playoff basketball, and you just let guys... When that ball goes on the floor, I'm not calling a foul.
Yeah, and you can't give the guy the timeout. He had it for less than a split second. The ref can't say he's got it and timeout.
I had Philadelphia in this series. I would like there to have been a foul.
Yeah.
This works against who I picked for the series. So I would like Philadelphia to actually have a chance, but I don't think that's a foul.
So I do wonder, you made a good point earlier that we're seeing more physical play, refs letting stuff
go. It's great. I love it.
I think the coaches and the players, not everybody has adjusted yet, Colin, and that's a problem. We'll see where it leads, but yeah, I got Sixers in game 3 handily.
That's a pretty good bet.
I can't believe it's 4.5. It feels like free money, but maybe something's up with Embiid or Maxey.
Well, we both like Dallas yesterday, first half.
I mean, all three first halves that I mentioned on the show.
Yeah. No, Philadelphia over New York is the bet. of the playoffs.
For Thursday. Now, here's a hold your nose, plug and play if you can stomach it. Miami Heat first quarter tonight against Boston. Can you stomach that?
No.
Boston's going to murder them, but first quarter, maybe Miami comes out with some gimmick defense. And
no, I know. Spoelstra, you know, that's not a bad bet.
It's not for the faint of heart, because Boston could hit five threes in this
Well,
game.
Gambling's not for the faint of heart.
Also true.
So just don't do it. Like cocktails, you have one, you'll probably have two. If you're faint of heart, don't do it. J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Look at this. So this is interesting. The his name, he's a content producer at the other place, Paul Hembo. And he went 20 years back on first round picks. Hit or miss. Based on whether they signed a second contract. So what's interesting, so centers only miss in the first round 8% of the time. Tackles, guards, 50% or more. So offensive linemen just do not miss much in the first round. And then linebacker, quarterback, edge, and defensive tackle, you get very close to 50% hit rate. Wide receiver is brutal. 3 out of 4 misses. Now, I can explain tight end. Tight end has the second worst percentage of missing. And my theory is, why does Iowa have so many NFL tight ends? Because Iowa forces their tight ends to block. And a lot of college tight ends don't block. And then they get to the NFL and they never become good blockers. I'll give you an example. Dalton Kincaid went to Buffalo. So Utah is a very physical college football team. They forced their tight ends to block. So anytime you draft an Iowa tight end, they block. Harbaugh makes his tight ends at Michigan block. Kyle Whittingham at Utah, his tight ends block. So the hit rate goes up. Tight ends really struggle in this league. First round tight ends, very dubious history. But a lot of it is they just don't block at the college level. And so they come smaller conferences. They don't face NFL guys. They get to the NFL. They just can't. They're just useless. They're just running around making catches, but they're not physical players. George Kittle, Iowa. TJ Hawkinson, Iowa. Iowa guys draft Iowa tight ends because that program makes them get into the weight room. They're basically an extension. They may not be the most gifted physically. They're the extension of the tackle. Iowa O-linemen and tight ends, draft them.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
basically everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lance Zierlein is joining us, NFL draft analyst, NFL.com. Been doing this for 21 years. So, usually you get to a draft. Somebody told me this years ago, and there's about one player a draft. It was Bijan Robinson, the running back from Texas, I think it was last year, where you get what you call a clean player. There's literally nothing you worry about. I had talked to a GM. He's like, he doesn't fumble. He's a good kid. He runs. He blocks. You're not going to draft him number one, but Patrick Willis came out of Ole Miss, and I remember somebody saying, that's a clean player. He's going to work wherever he goes. Is there a player that you look at in this draft, Lance, and you just, regardless of where he lands, it's just going to work?
You're going to love this because it's going to tie into what you just talked about, and I'd say it's Graham Barton, who's going to be a center or a guard coming out of Duke, who I expect to go sometime around 19, 20, 21. He's as clean as you're going to find. I mean, he's got good size for an interior lineman, has tackle experience, and some teams are going to potentially take a look at experimenting with keeping him out of tackle despite having sub-33-inch arms, which are short for the position. But what you have is a guy who has, you know, ACC pass protection experience at the tackle. You move him inside the guard. He has terrific technique, great hand placement, unlocks his hips, knees, ankles, is very loose in his lower body and can create good leverage. I think he's consistent with his body control and core strength, makes him a very consistent point of attack blocker. I think when it comes to cleanest prospect in the draft, we're probably talking about an interior lineman, which happens to be the position that you just got done talking about, is one of the best hit rate positions.
So Jaden Daniels is interesting. I talked to somebody who is very much in your space, and he sent me his breakdowns on the quarterbacks last night. Strengths, weaknesses. Mm-hmm. The J.J. McCarthy thing was not pretty. Not a fan of him. And one of the things he said is it was not an NFL experience. When he has a clean pocket, a good run game, time, can set, can throw, it's nice, but misses easy stuff. Not a big arm. There's a Mitch Trubisky feel where he's athletic, but things have to be perfect. The sight lines for him to throw. He just was not a fan of McCarthy. He thinks he needs the right fit. Like Minnesota, it works. A lot of other places, it doesn't. Do you view McCarthy as a flawed player where his college experience is nothing close to what the NFL is asking?
Well, I think it's tough because it used to be what the NFL was asking, and I think it still can be in terms of, look, if you have a great run team, if you have a great offensive line or a good offensive line in front of you, and you have a defense that keeps you ahead of the sticks at all times in terms of the scoreboard, yeah, I mean, obviously that's ideal for any quarterback. I think what we're looking at here is what offenses – does J.J. McCarthy fit in? And I think he does fit in the team you mentioned, Minnesota, with that play action, boot action stuff that Kevin O'Connell runs. Obviously the same thing, you know, we've seen from Green Bay and we see from Shanahan and his dad, Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak, who was in Houston when I was there. So I think the problem we have is I think the scouting report you had on him is it's a tough scouting report considering the fact that he hasn't been asked to do some of those things. I think it's the mistake you make is assuming you can't do it just because you haven't been asked to do it. It's a guy who's got a 60 record dating all the way back to being 15 years old in high school. I mean, all he does is win. Now, people don't like hearing that, but NFL teams really believe that there are certain quarterbacks that have winning characteristics and leadership. And I think some of the things you have to look for in him are intangibles. Perfect transparency here. I have a really a late borderline first round to second round grade on him, but a lot of that is simply because I can't see it yet because they haven't asked him to do it yet. But I'm not going to make the mistake of saying he can't do it. I do think, Colin, he's a game manager, and we have to see if you ask more of him and you bring him along and allow him to keep growing as a player and giving him more experience, can he become a playmaker instead of a snap taker?
So it's interesting. I saw another story today with another scout that was concerned about Caleb Williams. And it doesn't mean much to me. I've seen a dozen kids, 100 kids cry in March Madness when they lose. So if a quarterback runs into the stands after he loses, it's not the locker room, it's the stands, and goes into his mother's arms. I've seen these college athletes, they're kids, they cry, it's emotional. But I read this article and the nails and that stuff, and it's not the first time I've heard it. I don't know. You talk to these scouts and executives. I've talked to two people now that said the Bears don't have the guts to do it, but Jaden Daniels the better player. What do you make on the Jaden Caleb? Who do you have ranked higher?
I have Caleb by 0.01. Like, it's literally, they're deadlocked on tape. Jaden Daniels had the better tape this year, and it's not really, he had the best tape of anybody in college football. It's not really even debatable. But when you look at Caleb Williams, there's projections that you really like a lot. I think what happens is, I do think there is a little lower floor with Caleb Williams for some of the things you're talking about. But listen, I think you have to be honest here. Some of this is generational, because if you talk to younger scouts and younger coaches, I think one of the things you're going to get is, that's players today, and it's, you know, it's just what it is. And I think too much is being made out of how he wants to look, because a lot of players are going to be that way across the board in any sport. So if you're more old school, it's going to bother you a lot. But if you're one of the younger coaches and a new school coach, I don't think the nails are going to bother you. I don't think the aloof attitude is going to, as long as you get good reports from players who he played with. A lot of these guys are very honest about teammates when they talk to teams. So if the teammates are in with him, Colin, if the coaching staff is in with him, if you're getting good reports there, and then you play the game of poker where you're trying to assess and read him in that short period of time you have, like Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham and Matt Eberflus and the Bears have, well, then they have to come up with an idea of balancing, you know, future leadership qualities versus the talent on the field. And I think they're more than comfortable with what they have with Caleb Williams. But I understand the concerns, because for years it would have continued to be a concern. But I do think some of that is generational, and I do think the more it continues to happen in this era of football, the more teams are going to worry about that kind of stuff a little less.
So let's go back to our chart on 20 years, hits or misses. So offensive linemen hit, quarterbacks, linebackers, edges, D-tackles hit half the time. Then you go to the bottom. Right. I think I can explain the tight end based on my theory that college tight ends are not asked to block elite pass rushers much, and you are in the NFL, and many of them are just, they can't do it. They just can't. That's why Iowa guys always work in the NFL, is they're asked to block at Iowa. Wide receiver, I've got my own theories on this, that you should draft receivers second round on. It's an ego position, a spectacular touchdown position, a flash position. I think receivers that are dropping the draft, that are slightly overlooked, Amon-Ra St. Brown, they come in with a little chip and something to prove. It's the most spectacular position in the sport outside of quarterback. Your touchdowns are spectacular. And in high school, college, you come into the sport, throw me open. That's my theory on it. Maybe it's a route running thing. But this receiver number is startling, that three out of four are misses. And every draft I ever have been involved with, we're absolutely sure they're the biggest hits. They're the biggest misses. Is there what's your belief on this? What's happening?
I mean, if you go back historically, you find a lot of the wide receiver position is height, weight, speed. So a lot of it is based more on traits sometimes than actual football. They used to lean really heavily. Justin Hunter was an example. The guy from Darius Hayward Bay is another one, a traits-based guy. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons is more was Aurelius Ben. A lot more was put into height, weight, speed as opposed to some of the football elements, the wide receiver elements of the position. I think that's one of the reasons. But I also think another reason is because, you know, with quarterbacks being as valuable as they are in the first round of the draft and also another high failure rate position, what goes hand in hand with a quarterback? It's left tackle typically and wide receiver. And now even more so over the last 7-8 years, wide receivers have taken on a bigger role. But I think it's fascinating that the philosophy you have is what the Green Bay Packers have had forever, and that's don't draft a wide receiver in the first round. And I know there are other You know, there are other GMs out there who have a similar idea. And when you look at this year's draft specifically, Colin, and you see Ladd McConkey, potentially Xavier Leggett, when you see Ricky Pearsall and Roman Wilson, I mean, Javon Baker from UCF, there's some talented wide receivers on day two. And I could make a point that offensive line, that's a bigger hit rate position and a
yeah.
position that's typically much more stable, is more important to draft earlier than wide receiver because you can get starters in the second and third round.
Yeah, yeah. Packers don't do first-round wide receivers. It's whatever it is.
Nope.
It's interesting. But the miss rate on wide receivers, it literally is startling. 75% miss in the first. That is crazy. Lance is always NFL.com, co-host of The Bench on 97.5 in Houston. As always, my friend, can't wait. And thanks for your stuff.
Have fun this draft year. We appreciate it.
All right. Isn't that crazy? If I would have said to you the miss rate, I would have guessed defensive tackle misses. Because you play in the trenches, you get hurt. I would have guessed the miss rate was defensive tackle.
Nope. Colin.
You told me this 2 days ago.
We talk about this all the time during the NFL season. Why do we have an edge, perceived edge, in gambling? And why do we think we kind of can see how games are going to go? Because we value the trenches greatly. Every week, you look at the injury report. How's the left tackle? How's the right tackle? How are the guards? The center for the Chargers, Lindsley, misses the last season. The Chargers' offensive line was decimated all season. Offensive line is everything. We don't value it because, like you said, it's not sexy. It's not a glamorous
spot.
They
don't miss. Those picks don't miss.
That's why I said Jets at 10 should go offensive tackle, whoever the best one is. The tough part is Roma Dunze could be there. Do you go sexy wide receiver? Well,
but Aaron and Tom Brady don't like young receivers. Aaron's not in the patient mode. Aaron's in the I want to win now.
I'm sorry. I don't care what Aaron Rodgers likes.
Well, he's your quarterback.
What's best for our team.
Well, he's your quarterback.
For now.
Well, for the year. He says he wants to play. I would make Aaron happy.
We just heard it could be major radical changes if things don't work out.
Well, I mean, you better make Aaron happy.
No. You got to do what's best for the franchise, not make your quarterback happy.
Little late on that.
That's also
you've given the keys to Aaron. Are you going to lock that? You're going to change the lock?
Whoa! I didn't give the keys to Aaron.
Oh.
Woody Johnson jumped on a plane and was like, Aaron, please come.
You can't give the keys to the franchise to a player and then change the locks before the contract's out.
I mean, technically you can. probably not good business. But we've seen this happen many times.
I would get happy Aaron for a year. Figure it out later. I'm not a fan. Aaron doesn't love, Brady didn't love this. Young receivers. He's already got one in Garrett Wilson. That's enough. Go get Alan Lazard and Mike Williams. They're fine at receiver. Get older players.
Well, they're good. Okay, Garrett Wilson goes down, and then it's Mike Williams who's hurt every year.
Breece Hall.
And then he was hurt. He was hurt last year.
Well, you're starting to sound like me.
So, listen, I think philosophy is number one overall above the quarterback. What are we going to be as a football team, right? And I don't think the Jets know what they are. They're like, we're an Aaron Rodgers team.
You're not wrong. Live in L.A., it's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love that the Green Bay Packers share my philosophy. Try not to draft receivers in the first round.
I like that.
Packers and I have a lot in common. We both, at some point, wore Dockers, probably more than we should have. Simple life. Not flashy. All right, J-Mac, it's time on the eve of the draft for the confidence meter. You give me the player in my confidence, high, medium, low, that they'll be successful, get that second contract in the NFL.
Right. Okay, let's get started. How confident are you Caleb Williams would succeed in the NFL?
Very confident, and the reason being, I think Chicago's GM Ryan Poles has done an excellent job. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, a lot of draft capital on the O-line, DeAndre Swift, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett. This GM, who was a former offensive lineman, has built a really top 10 offensive group. That's a good group.
Yeah.
DeAndre Swift, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Gerald Everett, Cole Kmet. Those are good players.
Solid. Yeah. How confident are you Jaden Daniels will succeed in the NFL?
Very, and the reason being is I think he'll run his way to success early as he develops into an NFL pocket quarterback. He ate up the SEC last year, like Joe Burrow had an unbelievable last year at LSU. You know, he's a little thin, but I think he throws a beautiful ball downfield. Every time we show video, he throws a great deep ball. I like Bo Nix. Bo Nix doesn't throw a great deep ball. This kid throws it deep.
Carving up Kentucky and Missouri and those mighty SEC defenses. How confident are you Drake May will succeed in the NFL?
Somewhat confident. I do think he needs an offensive coach. I think he's unrefined. I think he's inconsistent. But I will tell you this. On third and fourth down, 26 TDs, one pick. So on the big plays in his career, those focus plays, third and fourth down, 26 TDs, one pick. He was a good, crucial play quarterback. That matters.
How confident are you J.J. McCarthy will succeed in the NFL?
Not confident. All about where he lands. Minnesota, he'll succeed. Slender frame, average arm, never asked to carry a team, misses too many laps. I don't see it. But again, if he goes to Minnesota, it'll work. If he went to Sean Payton, it would work. But when I say work, not elite, it would just win some games.
Average arm? Come on. 61 miles an hour. How confident are you Bo Nix will succeed in the NFL?
Somewhat confident. He does not throw a deep ball of note, so he's not going to be a star quarterback. Played in a very college quarterback-friendly scheme. I think there's some Drew Brees here, and Drew Brees got the right coach. He was a star. He gets the ball out quick, super accurate, mature, 24. But again, you're not getting a lot of deep ball stuff. You're not going to get a lot of improvisation. We're not looking at somebody that's going to light the league up. But I think he can be a franchise quarterback with the right offensive coach like Sean Payton.
All right. How confident are you Michael Penix Jr. will succeed?
Somewhat confident. What I like is I think he's going to fall and land with a good coach or a good team. He's not going to go to a mess of a team. He'll go to a Miami. He can go to a Seattle. That's the advantage of going like 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th. You're going to go to a better team and a better coach usually. So that makes me confident.
How confident are you Marvin Harrison Jr. will succeed in the NFL?
The most confident you could be. There's no miss. He's the only no miss in the draft. As good as Ohio State receivers are, and they have the best receivers in the country at Ohio State, he was a notch above all of them, and that's saying something, because they have great receivers. Brian Hartline's the best recruiter in the country at receiver. All they get's five-star guys.
Yeah.
And he was better, notably better than all of them. I think he's... There's some Calvin Johnson. He's not as dynamic as Randy Moss, but the dude's just going to be an 80-catch, five-touchdown guy real quick.
How confident are you Malik Nabers will succeed in the NFL?
Confident, but he's got a slender frame. He's not as physical as Harrison, so I always worry. Like OBJ, would he get banged up? Super dynamic, wild, spectacular speed, elusiveness. Very good after the catch, but he's not terribly big.
How about Roma Dunze? How confident are you he will succeed?
Again, I think it matters where he falls. Somewhat confident. Not a burner. He's a mature adult that will come in and be productive. You don't have to worry about him being squirrely. Not a super elusive, dynamic guy. Not going to run past people. Runs his routes. Good route tree. I think you're dealing with an adult. This kid's going to walk into the league and be productive. But he's not going to take the top off secondaries.
How confident are you Brian Thomas Jr. of LSU will succeed in the NFL?
Somewhat. He doesn't have much of a route tree. You know, he's just a great athlete. He's typical LSU. It's just like crazy talent. So he's not going to give you seven routes. He's going to go deep. He's going to beat people over the top. He's kind of the opposite of Roma Dunze, where I'm not sure I'm going to get more than two routes, but the route, he's going to beat people over the top. He's a touchdown maker. He's a guy that's going to end up in the end zone a lot. If he gets the right quarterback, he's going to put up really good numbers.
How confident are you Xavier Worthy of Texas will succeed?
Don't feel good about him. Track guy, small, 165 pounds, track guy. I don't like track guys. I'm not a track guy.
They
created a sport for you. It's called track.
We'll wrap up with confidence level in Brock Bowers succeeding.
Good. He may drop. Listen, he's versatile. He's done the tight end thing, in line, spread him out wide. And he was great out of high school. Napa to Georgia, great. So a lot of people think he's a little undersized. He's not real thick. Is he going to be able to block? I just think he's going to be a very productive quarterback. I do think he's going to be the guy that falls a little bit in the draft.
I just looked at his over-under. I saw 12.5 at one shot.
I think he's going to fall to about 13 or 14.
Well, the Colts really are huge. That's been my mock, most of them. Colts getting Bowers. I don't know. We'll see. I like Bowers. I thought he was going to be top 10 for sure during his college tenure.
Because he was so... And then he got hurt.
He did get hurt.
Came back. Wasn't quite the same.
And then you just... Reality sets in. You're like, tight ends this high? And the Jets GM came out and said, oh, look at the final four teams in the playoffs. All of them had a superstar tight end or budding superstar. And I was like, yeah, how many of those went in the first round, Joe?
You have turned on the Jets GM. He missed on a quarterback.
And a left tackle.
Not great.
Everything else is
he hit on a lot of stuff.
Pretty damn good, yeah.
No, he's good.
I haven't turned on him. I just...
You know what? JNC Consulting, if you don't contact us before a draft, it's on you. We got the answers here. You got my phone. You may want to reach out for job security purposes.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.